That has been requested, is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 15. Before I turn there to read, I just was looking through the leaflets of my Bible, and I have three hymns marked in the leaflet of my Bible that we don't sing very much. But somewhere along the line, they must have touched my heart in a special way. And I had to think of Brother Llewellyn as I read this one. I want to share it with you. It's 562 in the Black Hymnal. And I, for the life of me, can't get the tune. There is a land of pure delight where saints immortal reign. Infinite day excludes a night. And perishes and pleasures languish pain. There everlasting spring abides, and never withering flowers. Death like a narrow sea divides that heavenly land from ours. That's a beautiful picture. Now listen. Listen to the middle verse. Sweet fields beyond the swelling flood stand dressed in living green. So, too, the Jews' old Canaan land stood while Jordan rolled between. But timorous mortals start and shrink to cross that narrow sea and linger, shivering on the brink, and fear to launch away. We could make our doubts remove, these gloomy doubts that rise, and see the Canaan that we love with unbeclouded eyes. Could we but climb where Moses stood and view the landscape o'er, not Jordan's stream, not death's cold flood, but freight us from the shore. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 5. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall deliver it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Reverently kneeling, shall we all gather for prayer.
Thank you, Brother Jim, and each of you who have been praying. I did also want to mention in announcements to keep Brother Ray Mulmert in prayer as he teaches and preaches throughout this week at Rhodes Grove, and Brother Larry for next Sunday. Let's keep our brethren in prayer as they labor there at Rhodes Grove. Being called upon to pinch hit here, I had to grab something, and If you possess a decent memory, I will tell you right off the bat here that you may remember me going over this scripture 18 months ago at prayer meeting. It was February 11th, 2015. We want to look at this scripture tonight. If you remember it from before, please stick in there and God will certainly bless you with His word again. His word is ever new and does not wear out. And so we're here, and we're here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I would entitle this Builders for Christ. It's what each one of us is who has named the name of Christ. We should be building for Him. And here in verses 5 through 10, Brother Jim read, here we find that we are simply co-laborers under Christ. Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But who are they? They're simply ministers by whom ye believed the gospel, even as the Lord gave to every man. God gave to each of them a certain ability, a certain gift to speak for Him and to help build His church. That's who they are. That's simply who they are. And I think that's what the but means there. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But they are simply ministers, they are servants of God by whom you have heard the word. They were ministers, they were servants of God who God worked through. God chooses to work through men and women where it's fitting. He wouldn't have to, but He chooses to. And so the idea here, as Paul admonishes the Corinthians, as he gives correction, as he needs to in several other areas as he writes to them, he's saying, don't lift these men up. That's all they are. They're simply men. And so don't lift them up, but praise God who gave them the ability to do what they've done. The ministry that they have brought forth was because of the ability of God in them. And if you do lift these individual men up, you simply divide the church. You simply take away from the unity of the church by lifting individuals up. Here at Pleasant Hill, to make it practical, it would be a matter of lifting Brother Ray up, or Brother Dwayne, or Brother Paul, or Brother Ken, any individual. You know, singling them out and lifting them up and saying, we need to follow this brother. And that's what they were doing here in the Corinthian church. Elevating Paul too high, elevating Apollos too high. This brought schisms about. It brought divisions in the church. And the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't honored and glorified the way He should have been, by the praise and the honor of men who were turning to simple men on earth. People causing division at Corinth were bringing attention to individual leaders almost like they were lords of their faith. And so it's what we gather from this verse. I believe it's a dangerous thing to put a person in place of Christ. Verse 6 says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Both of these workers in the church were needed, and they were also useful, those who planted, those who watered, but not one above the other. The planter wasn't any more important than the waterer. They were simply both co-laborers for Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the body of Christ, how it is made up of many members, and yet there is but one body. I'll read several verses there. 1 Corinthians 12, 17 to 21. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. It would not be a complete body without all those parts. Some parts might seem less necessary than others, and yet really they're not. The body would not function properly without all the parts. Yes, the planting is important. The watering is important. But without God in the work, nothing will come of it. You can plant all you want and you can water all you want, but there won't be any fruit. Come to maturity. No true honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. No increase in his kingdom. You see, gospel workers are nothing. Whether it's us here at home, whether it's someone over in another country, gospel workers are nothing without the blessing of Jesus Christ. And without him being in the work will crumble. Verse 7, So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God gives the harvest. He is the one that blesses the planting that has gone forth and the watering. He blesses his word. The Bible tells us his word will not return void. In Psalm chapter 127 and verse 1, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And so except the Lord build a house, you know, nothing will be accomplished. The labor is all in vain. Verse 8 of our text, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Of one purpose, working for one master, in harmony with one another, in the same work, as long as people don't cause division by elevating individuals. Each person uses their gift, and together the co-laborers promote the gospel. Minor differences of opinion might be there, like what color this building should have been painted. Minor differences of opinion, but not concerning the basics of the Christian faith. Not concerning theology, the doctrine that is clear in God's word. There cannot be differences, but we must be together on the word of God and for God's will for the church. All gospel workers must be together. His own reward according to his own labor. God knows how each worker applies himself. God knows if your heart's in your work. And God knows why you do what you do. God knows what your motives are. And we'll be getting to that. Verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Literally, we are God's fellow workers, working with God, of course, in subordination to God. God is leading the way. God is giving the instruction. He is giving the orders. And it's for his glory and it's for his honor. And it's for the saving of souls, which brings God more honor. Man was created to bring honor and glory to God. That's why we're here. That's why we've been created. And the more people that accept him as their God and as their Savior and submit to his plan, the more honor and glory comes to him. That's what we're all here for, and that's what we're working and building together for, the honor and glory of God. As we work, we can find ourselves trying to please certain men. That happens far more than it should. Well, it shouldn't happen at all. But unfortunately, I believe that happens a lot in the church. People end up doing what they're doing because they know a certain man or sister, a certain man or woman will approve of that, of what they're doing. And so they do it wholeheartedly to get that reward of getting favor from that individual. As you use your God-given gifts and abilities, remember you are under God's eye and should desire to please him. And that's the whole problem with pleasing man. When we please man, we tend to fall short of pleasing God. Because those two don't work together. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. That is, you belong to no man. You belong to God. We simply work under God. People are God's husbandry. In other words, we are God's building. We are gospel workers. We are caretakers. We are stewards. Concerning stewards, it is required that a man be found faithful. Stewards are required to be faithful. That is what we are. We are God's husbandry. That is, we are his caretakers. We are his stewards. In other words, he has put his gospel in our hands. And that makes us caretakers. That means we must guard it. That means we must promote it in all its purity and all its wholeness without compromise. You are God's husbandry tonight. You have been entrusted by God, who is faithful. He has entrusted you and counsel on you to be faithful. And me tonight. To further his kingdom, to honor and glorify him by what we do with the gospel that he has put in our hands. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Paul here calls himself, he gives himself a title. He says, I am a wise master builder. Sounds like Paul is boasting. Sounds like maybe Paul is proud of this accomplishment. Or this gift, this ability that God has given him. But he's not, he is not. Read it carefully, and he says, according to the grace of God. That is crucial here. That is crucial in Paul's attitude and how Paul is looking at this whole thing. And that is the only way you or I, as a builder for Christ, can look at things according to the grace of God. We are what we are. And without the grace of God, we wouldn't be anything. The Bible makes it plain that our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And that's what we are without Christ. And so Paul realizes that, and he says, it's only according to the grace of God that I am what I am, that he has chosen me to be a master builder and have laid the foundation that others are building on. It's no crime for a Christian to recognize a God-given gift. But it's not to inflate one's ego, but it's to magnify divine grace. God must be thanked and God must be praised for any good that comes from us. And we need to be careful how we praise each other. You know, that it's done the right way. And, you know, there's a right way to receive that accommodation. And those kind words. Giving God the honor and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul laid the foundation of a church among them. In the next chapter there, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. For a foundation, Paul gave them Jesus Christ. This is the foundation that the Apostle Paul laid, the apostles, the prophets have laid this foundation. Verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, that which I have laid, which is Jesus Christ. Many have tried to lay other foundations. Very unsuccessfully. All those other foundations tonight, brothers and sisters, are sand. And they will not endure the test and trials of time. And especially those that are going to come upon the church yet in these last days. You know, many have laid false foundations. Foundations that give way, they crumble, and they let the people falling. It's not a good place to stand. Matthew chapter 21. And verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. There is but one rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 to 22, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are all part of that spiritual building in Jesus Christ, and we are to continue to add to that building by the grace of God, using what God has given us, the various talents and gifts and abilities that God has given the church, each member. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. Psalm chapter 118, verse 22. Any religion tonight that does not build on Jesus Christ is false. It's absolutely false and will not get anyone to heaven and will not keep anyone from going to hell. Any religion that does not build on Jesus Christ as the foundation is false. Jesus Christ and him crucified, his shed blood and atonement for the sins of man is central, is foundational to our salvation. And on this we cannot vary. We cannot have different opinions. The fact that Jesus Christ came with the plan of salvation, the Son of God, God incarnate, God in human flesh, shed his blood on Calvary's cross, resurrected from the grave, is now at the right hand of God interceding for us, foundational to our salvation, and it must be central in our doctrines that we teach and preach. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation that hath been laid, the Lord Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now, what are we talking about here? Sounds like six different building materials. I'm sure some of you who are builders here tonight have never used some of those materials. Unless you maybe were just making something for play out with your children. That it didn't matter if the next rainstorm or the next wind blew flat. We find in these six materials two groups. And so there are two groups of builders in verse 12. They are known by their choice of building materials. There's a group that chooses gold, silver, and precious stones, and there's a group that chooses wood, hay, and stubble. Now there's an obvious glaring difference between these two groups. If fire comes, the one group is not going to burn up easily at all. It's going to endure a lot of heat. The other group is going to succumb very quickly and easily to fire. And you know which is which. The hay, wood, and stubble isn't going to make out too good when fire breaks out. And so the first three here are going to survive fire. The second three will not. And yet the people of the second group are saved. Yes, the second group is saved. Even though they built with wood, hay, and stubble, they did build upon the right foundation. And to see this more clearly, I want to take us just temporarily here to Matthew chapter 7, to the Sermon on the Mount. There toward the end of that sermon, two foundations, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Okay, so that was one group of builders. They believed the word of God. They heard the word of God and they did the word of God. They kept the word of God. And that group is likened to a wise man who built upon a rock. And the storms of life could not level that house. It stood strong. Now there's another group in verse 26. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. See, here we have a group of people. They've gone to church and they've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they have not kept the sayings of Jesus. They have not kept the commandments. They have been disobedient. They have laid God's word aside and they've lived their own lives. And they're being likened here onto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew. You see, the same storms of life came upon this group that came upon the first group. Now, when it happened upon the second group and beat upon their house fell, and great was the fall of it. Their house of salvation crumbled. It could not secure them. It could not keep them. And so there's a great difference between these two groups of builders in 1 Corinthians 3 and the two groups of builders in Matthew chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, one group uses gold, silver, precious stones, and the other group uses wood, hay, and stubble. They're both building upon the right foundation. They have not left the foundation of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, one group has heard the word of God and has obeyed it, has received it, and hath ordered their lives according to it, but the other group hath refused the word of God. And so the group in Matthew chapter 7 that has refused to obey the word of God is not on the right foundation. And because of that, their house crumbles and falls. Now back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 here, verse 12, you know, both groups have chosen the same foundation, the right one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock. On him they are secure. Verse 13 goes on and says, every man's work, referring to these workers, every man's work shall be made manifest, it shall be made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Remember, the fire is going to have a hard time. It's not really going to affect the one group of building materials, but the other group, it will burn up. Now we're reading about that fire in verse 13. A day is coming when it will be evident and it will be made known what every person built upon Jesus Christ with. And the Bible says the day shall declare it. What day? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. I think this verse is very helpful. What day is being referred to in our text tonight where it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest, will make known the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God, shall make known the counsels of the hearts. I believe here we have a commentary, scripture answering to scripture, explaining for us what verses 11, 12, and 13 are talking about. The hidden counsels of the hearts. I believe now we're getting to what is being talked about in 1 Corinthians 3, 12, how some build with gold, silver, precious stones, but others build with wood, hay, and stubble. The hidden counsels of the hearts. It's getting to be a heart issue here. And I think 1 Corinthians 4, 5 is very helpful. There's a day of judgment coming. There's a day when the hidden things of darkness will be revealed. There's a day coming when the intents and motives that drive men to do what they do will be revealed. And I think this is where the gold, silver, precious stones, and the wood, hay, stubble will come into play. And notice what 1 Corinthians 4, 5 says about letting judgment up to the Lord in certain situations. Now there's a place, and there was a place in the Corinthian church for church discipline, and people had to be excommunicated who were living in outright sin. But there are areas and there are things that only our omniscient God can truly judge. And I believe that's what the scripture is referring to. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. In other words, don't judge your brother or your sister's motives. You don't know their heart. You're not a psychic. You can't read their mind. Sometimes we act like we can, and all that does is cause trouble in the church. When we read motives into what other people do, we say, they did that for this and that. Their motive was impure. You don't know that. That's the judgment that we're letting until the day of judgment. We're letting for God. We cannot judge the motives of men. I guarantee you that there would be less church splits and less church trouble and less discord among God's people if we would let that kind of judgment up to the Lord. Judging men's motives. Verse 14 of our text, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. The builder whose work abides, the fire of God's judgment is what is being referred to here. The builder who used the right materials, he had the right motives, he had the right heart. He wasn't out for the praise of man, but he was out to honor and glorify and obey God. That is the man in verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. His reward will not burn up. It will endure the judgment seat of Christ, which is referred to in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. This person hath built upon Jesus Christ with gold, silver, precious stones. This builder had pure motives. This builder had a real love for Christ and for souls. And that's why they were overseas, and that's why they went to another state. They had a real love for Christ and souls. This builder was more concerned about Christ's reputation than his own. Never forget what reputation is. It's what other people think we are. Character is what we are. Reputation is only what other people view us as. And that is not important, but that's what we go for way too often. Reputation. When character is what we need to be concerned about. This builder, in verse 14, whose reward was kept, followed the admonition in Scripture in honor, preferring one another. This builder was seeking things above rather than things on earth. Was sincerely diligent in desiring to live out that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 15 of our text. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I can't say tonight that I totally understand what all this scripture is telling us, but this man's work burns up, but he himself is saved. He hath not left his faith in Jesus Christ, but his work here on earth was not truly for the kingdom. It was more for self. It had wrong motives in there. The builder whose work burns in the fire of God's judgment, built upon the right foundation and did not leave Jesus Christ, but used hay, wood, and stubble. Whatever that all entails, this builder worked with impure or mixed motives. He liked looking good before men. Jesus has something to say about that in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 and 5. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They've already had it. They're not going to have any more. Verse 5, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have already had their reward. all that they're going to get. They have nothing else coming. They've received the praise of men, and their reward is finished. Love was not this individual's motivator. Love for God, love for souls, was not the motivator of the one who used wood, hay, and stubble, whose work is burned up in verse 15. Love. We don't talk enough about love for God, for our fellow man, our true motivator. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first three verses, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. No reward. Burned up. It amounted to wood, hay, and stubble. Could it be tonight, if we want to be honest with ourselves, that we've all had some wood, hay, and stubble in our lives? It's not what we do for God as much as how we do it. When it is done with pure motives and love, it results in a tiny bit of gold, I believe. But when it is done slovenly, half-heartedly, carelessly, without love, and it's done for man's approval, we gain a sliver of wood. Was Jonah's preaching in the city of Nineveh an example of receiving wood, hay, and stubble? I think it was. I really think it was. Jonah preached, and Nineveh repented, and God spared the people, showing them great mercy. What did that do to Jonah? According to chapter 4 and verse 1, it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. It says very angry. Jonah obeyed. Jonah preached, but I believe he received wood when he could have received gold. And it all had to do with his heart. Jonah was dealing with some carnality. Let us take heed tonight how and on what foundation we build. Let's make sure it's the Lord Jesus Christ, but let's also make sure where our heart is as we build thereon. God bless you.
Let's stand for prayer.